rock you. Yes, yes, folks, I bet if Freddie to start the show there. We're going to come to rock you all season. That's the message from Donegal, as ever, folks. Fáilte go Daniel Gugia and Dale DeBate. Le miss you, Brendan O'Davnia and Sha'a Highland Radio, folks. Thanks, as ever, for the ongoing support. Gourmet Agav, Aleg Den Takiard, Horan Shiv. Folks, thanks very much, as ever. Thanks, of course, Joe Dex here for producing the show. Our head of sport, Aisling Kelly, of course, Sister Sarah's, Kieran Brogan, and all the crew there for their ongoing support. The legend that is Ivan Borland, thanks very much for the Power Hour Plus. Katie with the news there. We're kicking off another big show here on the DL Debate for you this evening. And what a season it has been so far, particularly for our hurlers, our footballers, and our ladies footballers. So coming up later in the show, we're going to discuss all about the football opening of the leagues with Gary McDaid, new Schlochneil coach as well. Irish Examiner, a correspondent, top man himself, John Fogarty's going to be on the show to give us the breakdown on everything that's happening around. We'll also be discussing, of course, as I say, the brilliant style of play that Donegal have been playing, the attack method that they're doing. So it'll be interesting to get John's views on Donegal's tactical setup and how they're going. And of course, look ahead to the massive game of Mayo coming up the road to O'Donnell Park. We're going to also hear from our own Maureen O'Donnell. She's going to be on to talk about the LGFA and the ladies' brilliant start to the season, 3-3. Well, our first guest, of course, coming on the show, he knows a bit about the ladies' game as well. He knows quite a bit about a lot of things. He, of course, is one of our heroes from 2012. And in many people's eyes on that brilliant season of 2012, one of the most integral parts of that team and the position he played. He's been all over the country, everywhere. He's been coaching senior club in the likes of Galway and Monaghan, coaching with Roscommon. He's along with Westmeath. He's now the Westmeath Bannister. He is a busy man. He's a wanted man. But this evening, we have nailed him. We've got him to commit to a wee chat here on Highland Radio. It is, of course, Mark McHugh. Mark, how are you, lad?
I'm good, Bryn. I'm good. That's a mighty introduction.
Jeez, yeah, I was going all going. It was Freddie Mercury before that.
I hope my wife's not listening to that introduction. She was like, are you ever at home, like, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark, before we get into that, I'm fascinated to know just on those different roles and different clubs and where you've been. What has been the experience there and what you've taken from all that?
Yeah, I think you know, it's a bit of a cliche, Bryn, but sure, every day is a learning day, you know. And I felt, you know, when I did start the coaching, it's back, it must be maybe 6-7 years ago now, and I went in with Morris McLaughlin there into Fermanagh, you know, the minor squad, and I kind of got a bug for it more than anything, more like, you know, even from playing, like, you know, you had a bug from it, and I really enjoyed it, you know. You enjoy maybe roaring at people instead of being roared at as well, so it was kind of a good old introduction to that kind of world. And as I said, I thoroughly enjoyed working with good groups of people, like, you know, and I suppose every year then, you know, as I said, the phone was ringing and there's different opportunities out there for me. Some were far away, some were closer. And I suppose I had to pick what I felt was the best one for me and my family at that given time. And it has taken me, I suppose, on a journey in a short space of a few years as well, all over the West and the North, like, you know. So I'm gaining experiences wherever I go. And I do feel like if you want to do anything in life, you have to work, you know, you have to work hard, I suppose, at it. And there's a lot of miles put in, you know, and as I said, the one thing you need is, well, the two things you need a very understanding boss, and you need an understanding, family at home. And thankfully I have that, and she actually can support me whatever I do, which is huge. You know yourself, hey, when you're out all the time, you know, you have to have somebody there that you're rock at home, and I thankfully have that. So it allows me to do my side of things a wee bit easier.
Yeah, listen, happy family. That's it, Mark. No problem to you there, Mark. Just bringing you right up to this role. You know, huge role taking on, you know, a Bannister of a county team. I was just looking at last season. You know, I was tracking you. Obviously, even the fact you were in with Dermot. I know Dermot well in that. I was just looking 5 defeats in a tough division. They were all by 1 and 3 points. You were coming so close to working towards something. So it must have said a lot that the lads wanted you back in there this year, Mark, to take them over and build your own backroom team.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, We went out. I went down last year with. I'd worked well. I know Dermot all my life, and I kind of had a real interest in the way he looked at the game and the way he coached the game. You know, so yes, I was going down to give my wee pieces, but I was going down, as I says, to learn. You know, you know, Jack Cooney had been up in Donegal on coaching us as well, and his wife's from Kilcare just here, so there's a connection there, and he reached out to see would be something that I was interested in, and you know, coming down and even working with him on his stage, or just even picking his brain from time to time was a big thing for me as well. As I said, just to get them, you know, I was in Connacht, I suppose. I'd worked in Ulster, and this was a Leinster now that was kind of just something different as well. And as I said, you pick up different things from everywhere. And yeah, listen, we were dealt a kind of a rough enough hand at the start of the year. There's a lot of boys kind of had left for different reasons, were through retirements or through travel or not committing for whatever reason. So we had what we had, and you know, we made a fair stab of it. And yes, you know, people can say that you were unlucky and you were here, and it just probably happened a wee bit too much for me to be unlucky all the time. You know, that's the way I kind of look at things. So there was something that we weren't doing right, I suppose, and we're just coming up short. And I think it was more so, I mean, looking back on it now, is we had our players, you know, we had our maybe 14 or 15 players, but after that it was just the panel in the squad, if there's picked up any injuries at all, we were struggling, you know, because of the amount of people that had maybe left or didn't commit. So that was probably the reason for that. And then, you know, Dermot well got the he was offered the Cavan job, and you know, he was definitely the best man for that. You know, his love for Cavan, and he was involved with different teams over the years, and you know, even since he's gone in, you see that he's given them a good lift. Like, so it wasn't something that, you know, starting fresh with another coach anywhere or moving again wasn't what I kind of wanted to do. And I was going happy enough just to kind of sit about here for a year or two and take a wee break, you know. And they rang me, Westmeath had rang me just to see would I stay on as a coach. And I said, no, it's just not something, you know, because you could start coaching with somebody you just wouldn't know. The reason I went down to Westmeath is because I knew Dermot so well, like, you know. And I just threw my hat in and I said, listen, if you want, I would be interested in looking and putting it together my own team if you want. I know I'm young. I'm, you know, I suppose I'm by far the youngest J manager, I think, out there at the minute. It just tickled my fancy. I knew the talent was there. If you got the right men in and the right men to commit, you know, it would have been worth your while. So thankfully, they offered me the job, and I couldn't really turn it down. I said, once you had a few conversations here at home and with work, I couldn't say no. Like, you know, it's a great opportunity for me. And as I said, yes, people say I'm inexperienced when it comes to this as a manager, and it's a different role, don't get me wrong, but the only way you get experience is by doing, you know. So that's what I'm doing. And
well, Mark, you certainly went around the country to get that experience. How does that feel then? Because, you know, a lot of people look at coaches and managers and the different aspects there, but how does that feel now that it's your word, it's your call at the end of the day, you're making the decisions, sure you've got help in there, coaches and people, but it's down on you. How does that feel on the line and that? And when you've two brilliant results so far, it must be a great buzz.
Yes, and it's a different role, Brendan, no doubt. You know, I kind of, you know, when you're coaching, you're more hands on with players, and you're stuck in, and all you're really doing is thinking about planning training sessions, about on the field. Where when you're a manager, you're organizing the pitches, the foods, the you're chatting to players a lot. Like you're a lot of your time is spent on phone. So, I kind of had to take a step back, you know, from the actual coaching. You know, I do come in from time to time, but you know, I let my coaches coach, and you know, you trust them that you're taking them in to do a good enough job. So you let them know the way you kind of want to play, and you're just in discussion all the time with them, and you know, picking each other's brains more than anything. And yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think there's an aspect of everybody that we always think we're right, no matter who you are in life. You know, we always think you're right. But unfortunately, when you're working with somebody or you're doing something, you don't have that. You can't make that decision because it's not your call. But when you're the manager, you can. So that's something, you know, that I kind of said I kind of wanted to do. But it's funny, even though I said I probably want to do that, it still comes down to a 2-hour Zoom meeting on a Thursday night to pick a team, like, you know. And that's between four of us, and it's tossed about the different ideas, and whenever changes are to be made during a game, same thing, we back each other, and we chat it through, and that's the way I think works best. And thankfully, it's been a good start. You know, the 2-1s in the league, we got probably rolled our luck a wee bit in the first game, but there was a bit of pressure on, I suppose. We'd won the Burn Cup, and so they were kind of we were there to knock down. So Yeah, listen, we've had five games in total and we've won the five of them, so you can't ask for a better start, and the lads are really buying into what I suppose we're putting down for them.
Yeah, magic. So you don't have to gather the cones anymore. You've stepped up now, Mark. That's the one, kid. Mark, tell me, hey, just on that start, you know, it's 2 from 2, you're saying, after O'Byrne and, you know, yourself, Wexford and Down. You mentioned that, I think I had a quick message to you there about Sligo, but on a sub, you technically had equalised with the last play. They put on a sub, and I say to probably break up the play, but that gave you 30 seconds, which you had to win it. And then, listen, go down to Ennis, 2:19 to 1:07. I mean, Mark, that's a huge statement victory for your lads.
Yeah, and do you know what? You know, we did a lot of work, you know, I suppose, between... We weren't happy with the way we played, I suppose, the first thing against Sligo. You know, I do feel that there's huge pressure. The way we were starting with Sligo at home, Clare away, and then Down away, you know, next weekend. There's plenty of scenarios there that where you could come away with 0 points after three games, and then you're under real pressure to find points somewhere. So we put a lot of emphasis on the first game, and when you're looking at a team from far out, you know, which we were in Sligo, it just all came to a kind of a halt that day, and the boys probably just didn't perform the way they'd like to have performed. And yes, Sligo put a serious press on us, and they were clawing the lead back from time to time, but I think after that, I think that just give our lads a wee bit more freedom down in Ennis to take the shackles off. And we put a lot of work in last weekend. We stayed away in the Saturday night, and we did a lot of work, I suppose, on Clare. And I didn't realise, you know, somebody only texted me on the Monday that I think Clare's last league defeat was in March 2023. Like, so it's not an easy place to go. Like, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of places that are not easy, but I didn't realise it was that far away. So you have to give credit to the lads and the performance they put in. Yeah. And again, Clare had come back, and I think they'd come back to 2 points, but we kicked on then down the home straight. And yeah, it sets us up nicely now. And it's, you know, we're going to Newry next weekend. And Down, you know, Down are probably the hot favourites for this division, so we can go up and have a crack at them.
I think Clare beat the two promoted teams last year. Yeah, Mark, they certainly were. That's why it was a massive run at home. As you're saying now, Mark, into this Down match, you know, this is a game now that's, as you know, going to set up the division in many ways. But, you know, we've seen so much with Down, even how they performed, you know, in the championship last year. You know, they are a good side. So I guess, Mark, as you said there, it's a chance, particularly away from home, to come up and just play your football, just go at it, in terms of, you've got your 4 points on the board. You're obviously going for the win, but certainly, you know, it's a game that no matter what is going to bring your team on.
Yeah, we were up there last year, and they beat us by a last minute point, I think, on the buzzer. Pat Hebron scored, I think, 8 or 9 points that day, you know. So Westmeath and Down have met each other a lot in the last number of years, because, you know, they've been nearly in the same divisions, and they met each other in a league final, they met each other in a Tatlin semi-final, I think, a few years ago as well. So they know each other inside out, that kind of way. And we started looking at video, obviously, over the weekend and stuff, and it's not hard to find a Westmeath Down game over the last 3 or 4 years. So it's been pretty 50-50, you know. And Down, you have to say, they've improved over the last number of years, and I know they're coming to Donegal in the summertime for the championship, which will be a ding-dong battle as well. But they see themselves on an upward curve as well. And I know I read there somewhere that they're away this week in Portugal and everything, so hopefully that they train really, really hard, and they might be a wee bit tired coming this weekend. But no, listen, it'll be a good match. I think, you know, both teams will play football, and yeah, as you know, the league is tough. Whatever I have always said, whatever division you're in the league, it's you're there for a reason. The leagues are so evenly balanced, and if we'd looked at the start and we would have said we probably had four points after three games, we'd have been happy enough. So this is the one, you know. We'll see where we're at maybe after this weekend. It'll tell us a few things about the squad, you know.
Yeah, and certainly a wee game with Declan Bonner coming down the track, so it'll be interesting as well. They've had a tough start. Mark, listen, just before I let you go, I have to ask, you know, in your trajectory of management, I know you're totally focused there at the minute, would it be something down the tracks you'd love to go back and take Donegal someday?
I suppose in the future, Brendan, you don't know what happened. If I am going to take a job in the future, I definitely would like it a wee bit closer to home. Because of the miles we're putting in, yes. I'd say my wife and my family would say the same. Yeah. Listen, that's a long way off, I think, for someone like me, you know, where Donegal's at the minute. You know, we have to see how we get on over the years. It's football's a funny game. You're as good as your last result, hey, you know, and some things can end very badly, or they can end well, you know. And Like what Jim's doing in there with the lads at the minute, you can see that's at a different, that's a completely different level. Like, you know, so would you like to manage Donegal in some stage down the line? Maybe, like, you know, but things change. You know, throughout life, you just don't know what's gonna pop up. Like, you know, it's, you know, I've followed Donegal regularly. I love watching them. You know, Ryan's obviously still playing, so I love supporting them as a fan. Please God, we don't actually meet each other maybe this year at any stage. It's not something I'd like to do, but listen, if it happens, it happens. That's part of the game. I played when I was with Roscommon. We actually we played Donegal in the last game of the league, I remember, and we beat them and we end up relegating them, which wasn't nice at the stage either. Like, so when you do go away for jobs, you do end up coming up maybe against teams that you don't like to, but that's the way it is. But God knows what the future holds, Bren. Right now, I'm focused on the black and maroon up there, or the black and red of Down for this weekend, and I'm sure Donegal's moving well. I have to say, geez, you know, they're really good to watch at the minute, you know, and they're showing great energy. So fair play to Jim and all the lads in there. Hey, they gave us an unbelievable summer last year. So listen, it's going to be exciting to see what they can do this year, you know.
Yep, 100%. Mark, listen, thanks so much for joining us. A fresh-faced Mark McHugh, the youngest manager in the game. I'll tell you, Mark, you're doing well. We'll all be rooting for you here in Donegal.
Thanks,
good luck with the rest of the season. We'll catch
Cheers.
Up down the tracks.
Cheers, sir. Okay, good man.
Top man.
All right, bye-bye.
Mark McHugh there. Top man that he is, one of our All-Ireland champs from 2012. I'll be back after this break with more GAA. Yes, folks, welcome back to the DL debate. Earlier on today, I caught up with Pep Guardiola of the Glen, now up at Slot-Neil, Gary McDeid, and he was joined by Irish Examiner's man of sport, GAA correspondent, John Fogarty. Yes, Gary and John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brendan.
Hope you're keeping well this Monday. Yeah, Gary, just from the get-go, before we get into the football, you were up at, obviously, the McLaren Cup final. I guess, you know, having coached yourself at all those levels and schools, predicting a final, you just want to be competitive, but the scoreline would suggest otherwise. But you were saying, I talked to you briefly about it, Unions were in it first half, but there was a period where it went away from them and they couldn't get back into it.
Yeah, it's probably, you know, really disappointing. And I know Peter Devine, David O'Hurley and Brian Diver, the management team, are extremely disappointed the minute that the boys, just was probably their worst performance of the year, unfortunately, happened in the final. Like, they were dominant team in the first quarter, and I was doing commentary live in the game, so I was, and I was thinking within myself, we're going to hammer these boys because we're really on top. Dominating. They didn't cross the halfway line in the first quarter at all, and they had a hurricane breeze, so they had, and we were against it. We just couldn't put the scores on the board. It was 1-0 after the first quarter. They came out then, they went 5-1 up by the end of the half. You've been happy enough, 4 down at half time. And then they had a goal right in half time. That gave them a nice wee lead, a 7-point lead. You're still thinking the wound is worth at least 7 points. You know, it was a strong breeze. Fantastic setting for a final in the arena and the dub. But the pitch now wasn't good. As John mentioned there about the weather, that whole East Coast is getting a battering for a change. Thankfully, it's not us in the West Coast. Usually we get it. But listen, they came out the second half. They kept turning us over, hitting us on the counter. Super speed on the transition and getting up the field. I think we had 11 wides, Bryn, in the second half. We just couldn't use the one to our advantage. You know, sometimes you overcompensate for the one that nearly looked like that they panicked on it. A wee bit sloppy in skills from talking to Peter Nick compared to the games previously. But listen, they had huge support. There was three or four coaches left to college. So there was that afternoon, and a load of parents and alumni and past pupils, and it's funny the amount of past people there at college in Belfast that had all come to the match as well. So you know yourself, that tie to the place that's always there, and it was very evident on Thursday night. It's just a pity for the lads that they couldn't get over, because the commitment they have is second to none. Like, there's boys travelling as far away as Dunfanaghy, so there's for 7 a.m. sessions. Like, and I was talking to a couple of them afterwards. They said they were up at half five in the morning.
Some commitment,
for those games. But listen, it's disappointing for them. But listen, it's good to get there, and we still have the under 15 half and the under 13 half teams still going to school, so we still have the two of them going.
Yeah, wish them all the best. And there, seasons. John, tell me, the opening rounds of the Alliance League, they've given us, sorry, I should have said the football leagues there, tripped myself up. John, take two. No, John, listen, John, I was just thinking about the excitement that we've seen on the back of last year, and, you know, the people giving off about the hand of ball back and the new hooter and that. But, I mean, in terms of entertainment, John, from what you've seen throughout all your time in sport, we've had another rip-roaring start to the leagues, and there seems to be just so much that can happen in any game. It can be hard to take in. I'm sure for us it's not too bad. We're mostly digesting Donegal stuff up here, but yeah. With you with your cloak across the whole thing, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and just coming off a hurling weekend as well, so, you know, we'll be quickly moving to a football only weekend now from tomorrow. I'll certainly start thinking about that, but you're absolutely right, Brendan. Like, this time last year was all novelty. The rules were changing. The goalposts were changing nearly every week. If you remember, I'm only looking at it. There was a 20-second limit put on kickouts, if you remember, around this time last year and things like that. There's still things to be ironed out with the clock hooter. There's still things to be ironed out with the 50-metre free advancement. But I think we all can agree that, you know, the product at the moment is excellent. Yeah. It's exciting. The two-pointers... you know, it's still my belief that the two-pointer should have gone hand-in-hand with a four-point goal. The FRC got rid of the four-point goal far too easily. Mm. But at the same time, the three... boring there. It really gives an extra dynamic to the game. And, you know, what was so impressive about Donegal against Dublin in that first game was kicking five two-pointers, whereas, as we all know, last July they didn't kick any. It wasn't as if Donegal were 2 points shy coming up to that All-Ireland final. Their average was pretty okay. But I think there's a recognition now that this is where you're going to win games. Mm. And, very impressed with them against Kerry last week. Really impressed. Expecting them to win at the same time. Not just, you know, I know, Jack, and you're probably thinking it's poor mouth from Kerry that, oh, Donegal are ahead of us in terms of training and all that. Donegal... we're in an All-Ireland final as well last year, which Jack might, you know, doesn't care to mention at times too. Right, yeah, they, yeah. Kerry are back. Okay, they've had the Dingle boys away and the Angueltach boys away and things like that. But you could see how happy Jack was after that game. I don't think he was too despondent whatsoever about losing to Donegal as much as I think he was happy enough with the performance. No Clifford, obviously. But I remember a couple of years ago when a disputed point was the difference between Donegal and Kerry in the first round of the league in Ballybuffet, if you remember. And Jack was spitting feathers after that game. Whereas you compare to him smiling with Jim after the game there in Ballyshannon last week, I think Kerry are reasonably happy. But Donegal have to be really happy as well. They really do, Brendan, because 4 points on the board, starting as they did last year, like a train, probably pick up another couple again this weekend. Well, certainly I feel they will. And then maybe they can taper off towards the end of the league. I don't know if they want to get to a final, especially with that training camp coming up before the down game as well. I'm not sure if that's in Jim's, if that's in his plan, but you'd have to be reasonably happy with Donegal and where they are at the moment.
I want to take you up on that Mayo one. That's interesting, John. You're confident. I like it. Gary, just on that, I know you're up coaching Sloughneil. I'll ask you a question about that later on. New role for you there. John's mentioned us on the two-pointers. The way Kerry set up in that final, obviously this is National League. There's a wee bit more room for certain players to swing the boot. Kerry didn't allow that in the final. So it's you looking at that from a coach saying, right, it's a league now. There's going to be more space to kick two-pointers, and we're seeing a lot of them. Do you think that's going to be tightened up in the Kerry template that we've seen tagging outside the arc? That's going to decide a lot of big games in terms of how you set up. And, you know, the likes of somebody rotating the ball to a Langan, for example, he's going to be, like, shut down straight away. Or what's your feeling on that?
Yeah, I think that's why they went the way they did last year, because our record of shooting twos was pretty low and they didn't think it was a real threat that they were going to lose the game. Just looking, John mentioned there about the Cliffords, I think, and Jack smiling after the game, I think it was a lot of Kerry cuturism, so it was.
as ever.
Like, you know, I think deliberately they didn't bring the two Cliffords up. I think deliberately not to give us a dry run to see what we could do in them. We didn't really learn a lot about Kerry there at the weekend. what we did, suppose, see for the first time ever, them defend deeper than Donegal. I don't think I've ever seen that in my life. They went into that zonal defence, so they did, and totally different to their setup in the All-Ireland. Four or five starters from the All-Ireland team, whereas we had a lot more, so that's why, maybe why Jack was smiling at the end. So he was, I just feel, you know, and they did a lot of things similar then as well. Thomas Kennedy pulled Brent McCall out the way David Clifford pulled him out in the final. So there's a lot of similarities too. They definitely want McCall out of there, I think. We've learned that. That's two in a row now that they don't want him in there because they know he's the best man marker and get him out of the way. And Thomas Kennedy didn't have the influence. Now, I know he's a young cub and he's a great player and a great prospect for the future. He didn't have the influence, obviously, that Clifford had in the final last year. But listen, we're in a really good place at the minute. Like four turnovers in the game, but that probably came from Kerry dropping off into that zonal defence and weren't putting huge pressure on the ball either. Fimber Rorty coming up the field, like all our defenders coming up the field, Keelan McCall coming up the field, Patrick Morgan coming up the field.
Probably our first 7 or 8 points were, I think it was one forward in there, it was all defenders coming on the back of because of that.
When you look back at the Ireland final last year, like that's a big difference, so it is. Like I know, like you mentioned there, we had a lot of scores throughout our campaign last year and probably looking, we'd probably, I think that's a new thing that they've definitely, see, I don't know, I'm guessing here from the outside in that they seem to have worked on pushing hard to get men up from defence because they're probably a bit looser, so they are. And I heard people mention that Fimber Rorty has a right foot now, like, and he's working hard on. I heard that mentioned after the games and interviews. So that's even adding strings to his bow. Like it was almost the Sean O'Shea show for Kerry on the day. So was it like he's just a joy
football
to watch.
God. Oh,
so
he's
a joy to watch. So he's like, as I said, the four or five of them, but he was pulling the strings massively, and it looked fantastic. Ballyshannon, it looked brilliant. 9,000 people. Packed in there, looked really good. It's brilliant the way I always think the opposition have to walk from the changing rooms through that area where there's a lot of supporters under the tunnel and the crowd roaring down at them. Like it's nearly worth a couple of points to Donegal, and probably as good a surface, Brendan, and Donegal that's there. The man, Father Tierney Park, and looked immaculate. And listen, I know we're back there for Kerry or for Galway again.
Yeah, certainly. John, just taking you up on that there, Gary's talked about Kerry's zonal defending. There's another way of saying that, that Kerry came and stank the game out. You know, I was just thinking, and I kind of said this to Jim after, John, you're in the national media there. If Donegal came down and did that and Killarney really killed the game, because it was actually a terrible enough game first half because of that. Now, Donegal did come out second half and still went after Kerry. Do you think there's a wee bit of double standards there, a small bit, or am I reading into that wrong?
No, there probably isn't. There are things, and listen, Kieran McGeaney would say this, Jim would say this as well, that there are things that Kerry get away with because they're Kerry. And that's tradition. That's what you're up against, you know. And, you know, you look back at the All-Ireland final last year, and it was, you know, it was masterful by what Jack did with, obviously, Keane O'Neill, you know, and that's the second time Keane O'Neill has done that against Donegal, a Jim McGuinness Donegal team. But you know, Gary mentioned Cue Tourism there. Absolutely it was. Kerry weren't giving anything away. Like, you know, the fact, you know, that nobody knew, and it just shows you can't keep things inside. And I know Jim is very huge on keeping things in-house. The fact that nobody knew about Clifford up until, you know, that he didn't travel, you know, that shows that you have a panel there where there's no leaks either. But if Kerry had done that, there would have been excuses made. Whereas if Donegal do it, it's a case of, you know, that's just Donegal. You know, there is absolutely that. And I think Jim has hinted at that before, that, you know, there's some things, and we're not just talking about the strength of the Ulster Championship, we're talking about perceptions that Donegal sometimes have more hurdles to face than the likes of Kerry. And just what's out there, and, you know, absolutely ourselves in the national media would have had an issue, certainly a few of us anyway, that, you know, we never got to the bottom of why Donegal lost the game last year from a Donegal sense, because from what we're told now by Jim is that it's wrapped up, it's moved on, and you know, not that it's forgotten about, but learnings, that awful word, learnings have been taken from it. But, you know, we would still like to know what happened, you know. And but outside of that, you know, Kerry are keeping their powder dry. You can see it. Kerry want to get to the final. Of course they do, because they have a buy-in amongst the semi-final, as they do again. You know, the whole inequality of the provincial championships is reflected in the preparations, or should I say the performances, of the teams in the league. We're looking at Donegal, who will want to taper off towards the end. They'll want to stay up in Division 1. We look at Armagh as well. You know, that was a surprise result against Galway. I did not expect them to lose that game, certainly at home. You would imagine Kieran McGinney will not want, especially with that Tyrone game coming around so quickly after the league, will not want to be facing Kerry in the final round needing 2 points. He'll want it wrapped up like Jim, because they have bigger fish to fry in the sense of an Ulster Championship, whereas Kerry don't have to at all. And that's why I think they're going to be in a league final again, because they can afford to. Whereas I don't think, even with the extra gap now, the extra 2 week gap between the start of the provincial championships and the league finals, I still think it's very unfavourable or unfair on Ulster teams in Division 1.
Well, Kerry have what, a semi-final with Clare and possibly a final with Cork and Munster, that's it. Yeah, the trajectory of an Armagh to run through Donegal and then and the possible like Derry or Monaghan final. Yeah, listen, totally agree with you, funny. Listen, I wanted to talk to Jim too, and again, you know, he just wasn't talking, even though I wanted to contextualise it, you know, the five Ulsters, the 6 years, the back-to-back, the runs to the final and that. But listen, that's his prerogative, and I suppose we just had to dissect what was there. But certainly, it's all guns blazing. And Gary, new season, right? We get every year we get excited by stuff, and nobody gets more excited than Mayo. You know, they're up next, that kicking game, and I keep having to check myself, saying, "Hold on a second, we're two games under the league here." It's as if Mayo were playing this unreal football. I'm like, right, all right, let's just think about right. I'm thinking championship now. What might happen is a city around how teams defend and how they'll really kind of shut down the 11, etc. But for now, okay, this Mayo team's going to come. This is going to be a rip roaring game, because Donegal, you've seen, were coming out and they were having a go. So Mayo are going to kick it and going to try and run it. So this will be a fascinating game.
Yes, probably.
The two
informed teams in the country, the man, the two of them are two from two. So something's got to give this weekend. And you know, Ryan O'Donoghue playing at 11 seems to be working for them. Having Aidan O'Shea inside of the edge of the square is going really well. Jack Kearney, Jordan Flynn between midfield and half forwards are going mighty, and they've a lot of big physical, athletic men like those boys I've just named there. Tommy Conroy's back after nearly 2 years of bad injury, so he is a brilliant forward. So he is. So probably like Donegal, they're not waiting on a wild lot to come back. You know, they're probably the two teams that nearly have everyone at the minute, and with the influx of a new manager, Andy Moran, and his enthusiasm that you can see there, that he, every time he talks, that's probably infectious in the group and the players. And listen, he's cute enough as well, because he's brought in Paddy Talley, who's won All-Irelands with Tyrone, and Kerry as part of his backroom team, and Colin Boyle there, who's Mayo through and through. So they seem to have a nice blend, and they're bringing it back to that old style of moving the ball forward with purpose and pace, you know, and big ones over Galway, which is their arch nemesis, you know, in Dublin, then the last weekend as well. And I said there, O'Donoghue, I think he was man of the match in that game. So listen, really big for them, and I think the new rules suit them. I think that if the new rules had been in when they were going over that decade with Dublin, they might have possibly got an All-Ireland, because like they suited that man-to-man chaos way back then. So it'll be a good battle between McGuinness and Andy Moran this weekend, because Mayo bring energy, good energy, Donegal bring good energy, so they do. So it'll be another packed house at the Donald Park. Is it possible, Brendan, to get tickets?
I think there's more being released there, right? There could be people sneaking in the night before. Tell me, John, just on that, mentioned there about, you know, Paddy Talley in there. Obviously, he was offered 3 years by Derry, only got 8 months. He's a bit stung, I think, and he might be in there with a point to prove. It might be the masterstroke of Andy Moran. But what have you made of Mayo? I mean, listen, total excitement, I know, but early on in the league, it's a good time for these two teams to meet each other.
Yeah, and there's a new manager bounce there as well. And, you know, what Gary was saying about the new rules and Mayo, yeah, they were one of the teams that really didn't embrace them last year, like Dublin. You know, it just seemed, they didn't seem to move with the times. when you consider the players they have. But obviously, you know, there's guys, you know, Tommy Conroy is coming back now. He looks fully fit, and that's a huge thing. And obviously, Killian O'Connor, you would probably going to see towards the end of the league, if not this weekend. Mayo have been very much like Donegal would have been a running team, but they have kickers, you know, just like to Jordan Flynn and guys like that, McBrien. These are guys who can kick from distance, but they never embraced the two pointers last year at all, which was a concern. And I think that, you know, one of the reasons, although he was treated very unfairly in the manner in which he was after his illness, Kevin McStay, the way he was let go from the position, I think the man deserved a lot more respect than that. But at the same time, you probably knew that it was going to be the end for his management team, because they just didn't seem to fully embrace them rules. Now this year, you're looking at the way they're kicking the ball in nearly on site, you know what I mean? It's a case of put it up there and see what happens. Now, you imagine if Donegal go back to a zonal this weekend, then they're going to lap that up. That's just, you know, that's the way I would certainly feel it as well. Like Aidan O'Shea came off the bench against Dublin the last day. Is he going to be used more as an impact sub this year? The question is worth asking. Would Mayo have won as well as they did if Sean McMahon wasn't sent off? And obviously that sending off has since been overturned and McMahon be available for the Monaghan game this weekend. Would they, you know, as I fully believe Mayo would have still won the game, but would they have won it as much? I'm not so sure. Andy Moran is hugely infectious. We all know him, guys. He's a breath of fresh air. But, there has to be substance to it too. There is substance in the likes of Talley. Italy now has been with how many management teams? Galway, Kerry, Derry, Tyrone, Down. You know, he has such a CV put together now at this stage. And I think he's in a position where it suits him as coach. And one of the things that it probably appealed to him with Kerry was it afforded him the opportunity, won an All-Ireland with them, to show that he was more than just a defensive coach. And I would imagine that's what's appealing to him now, as much as Andy Moran, from my understanding, has taken a good bit of the coaching himself with Colin Boyle, that Talley is being associated with a team that is, you know, playing attractive football. And the one thing about Mayo is, and they've been in the doldrums the last few years, there's no question about it, they hadn't been playing a hugely attractive brand of football. With Moran now, the ball is going in there every time. I think they'll be a little bit more discerning about the ball that they put in this weekend, because you're coming up against that Donegal defence that, you know, can go zonal at the flick of a switch. And if that's the case, they're just going to lap it up. At the same time, though, and you'll know this better than me, guys, is the venue a happy hunting ground for yourselves? Just looking back on some of the results.
It's been so sure, right, John?
It hasn't been.
Yeah.
It hasn't been. I still fancy Donegal, but listen, it's an exciting one. There's no question about that.
Yeah. Listen, watch Mayo. It's funny how quick they can change. I was down at their league final with Kerry, and I know it wasn't that big of a deal either time, but there was just nothing from them. And you knew Kerry were about to launch a massive attack. I just looked at Mayo and I was like, what's going on? So at least that energy's back, Gary. But as John was saying there, if we sit in and kind of nullify that early on, you know, even though they will look to score heavily against us, they're going to leave a lot of gaps for us to exploit at the other end. So it could be, you know, one of those games where you see one system try and shut down another. As we've seen quite often, the defensive system will come out on top of that. That said, there, as John was saying, with certain height advantages in there, it could work in their favour. You know, if they were to conjure up a couple of early goals or something, it could give them, you know, a bit of a foothold into the match.
Yeah, like, are they going to try and look for that mismatch maybe that you were thinking there about for the height and the full forward line? But it's nearly going against what Donegal have done the first couple of games compared to last year. They've pressed a lot of man-to-man, and you know what? They're really good at it. And they get away. It makes perfectly sense, because our age profile's pretty good and we're really athletic, so we are. So it actually suits us to do that. But what I like about it, you know, Jim kind of threw it back to the media in Croke Park about the zonal thing. And he says, we're zonal the last 20 minutes of the game there, but you're not watching it. Mm. So there was a wee bit of a hybrid model there.
That wasn't John said that.
There's a wee bit of a hybrid model there, which is really good. So I would say this weekend, you might see that zonal system early on.
Yeah.
And then we might see what way Mayo were going. Mm. You know, surely Andy's going to, you know, they're smart people. that they're not going to start lamping ball in if they look up and see a zonal system there. Like, I think coaching and management's just moved on to serious levels now, that you're not going to have teams playing into each other's hands like that. And it's nearly going to be attack for attack on what's in front of you, and reading what's in front of you is a kick on. If not on, we're going to have to run it, because Mayo were very energetic as well, and they have the runners with them.
Mm. And John, just down to last minute, John, just on that, do you think Donegal then would do that in the game? They have been coming out going after teams pretty much man for man. There's been a very odd time, as Gary was saying, against Dublin, whether that happened just because they were had a bit of a lead or were sitting, you know, against the breeze. But do you think that they will sit, and if they don't, does it show a new kind of style in terms of bravery of going after the ball? Because ultimately, that style won't work in Croke Park, for example. So, you know, will you think Donegal will go after it? And if they do, that'll be, it should end up being a real rip-roaring game.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, lads. O'Donnell Park always strikes me as a big pitch. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong now, but, you know, if it is like Croke Park, like I imagine the dimensions that is, I would imagine that Jim will look at doing something in a Croke Park style. But yeah, I just fancy if there's more in ball that they've been calling it over the last couple of games, I think that's
Andy
a bit
Ball.
Unfair. Yeah, Andy Ball. Yeah. If Mayo do try that early on, I just think Donegal will go zonal and lap it up. But no, I absolutely agree with Guy. We're seeing a lot more from Donegal in the sense of varying their play. I just can't get over how good Langan has been, and we all know how great of a footballer he can be. But over the last couple of games, like, you know, you're seeing those two pointers and just his language, just lovely flowing football. Donegal have, you're looking at the two teams 2 weeks ago, and you're looking at that Donegal team, it looks a hell of a lot more familiar than this Mayo side. That's why I just feel Donegal, especially with Jim's home record, which is extraordinarily good, I really fancy them to go to 6 points on top of
astute stuff as ever from John Fogarty, Irish Examiner. John, thanks a million for joining us. Gary as well. We'll patch that all together. Lads, we'll be speaking to you as the season goes on. And Gary, we want to wish you all the best. You're up at Sloughneil. Yeah, Gary's up at Sloughneil, surely. Fair play to him. Wishing him all the best, folks. Just before that Mayo game we're talking about, there's going to be a protest by Gaels against Genocide, against Allianz ongoing sponsorship and business dealings with the GA. Allianz, who were cited in a UN report, has been a major investor in Israel and purchaser of Israeli war bonds that went towards the genocide in Gaza. That's happening on Sunday before the game. Now, switching our attention to the ladies, I have the one and only Maureen O'Donnell. She's been waiting patiently there. Mo, how are you?
What's the crack? How are we getting on?
All good in the hood, all good in the hood.
I'm
great to see you.
Correcting in the middle of my corrections here, wouldn't you?
You're a mighty... That, the unseen work that goes in behind the scenes. You know, a lot of people say most teachers kind of have a half day every day kind of thing, but...
There you go. I'm living proof right now that we're working beyond hours, out hours work.
It never stops. Fair play to you, Mo. Listen, you'd be a great girl, I'm sure, to be being taught by. Listen, Mo, the ladies, what a start. 3-3. Mayo, Tyrone had a couple of big ones too going into this game, leading into this match over Westmeath and Monaghan. But brilliant performance again for ladies away from home, 3-9-1-8.
Yeah, it's been a really brilliant start for them. I suppose more of a dream start than anything else, because you start off poorly in the league, like, it kind of falters through then throughout. You're catching your tail the whole time. So absolutely amazing. Three games in, 3-1s. And listen, you know, a playoff spot and chance of promotion, I suppose, well within their reach now at this early stage. And that would have been their ultimate aim at the beginning of the year. Brendan.
Yeah, brilliant. Look, just looking, Katie Dowes 2-1, Suzanne White 4 points, Kira had him with 1-1 there. So good spread too, Mo, of scores across, and certainly, like, as I say, it's an exciting time for Donegal. It's been a tough kind of couple of years at times for them. Looks like they're the basis of a great team's coming together there for James Daly.
Yeah, and you know, look, James would be one to always say it, and you know, he said it in interviews with me, like, that people need to have patience. Like, there's been a huge transition within the Donegal senior team there, you know, and people think, you know, that you're going to be out and you're going to be victorious after a year, or you're going to be winning cups after a year. That's not the way it happens. It takes time to build a team. It takes patience. to blood these players, to get them in, to get them experience, which is the really key, Brendan, more than anything. So, look, he has always said that, and it seems to be coming to fruition now. Like, you know, look, we're not going to get ahead of ourselves, obviously, but it's massive. The three games, the three ones, like, they beat the Media Champions Throne yesterday, which is a huge one. Both those last two games, away to Mullan and away to Throne, a very good start against Westmeath and O'Donnell Park. And you mentioned it there, and it's really key to Donegal this year, is that the distributed scoring that's happening. We have seen this for years, relying on one scorer. We now have 10 different scorers within three games. We've scored 7 goals and 30 points. 7 goals. We couldn't get 2 goals. We got 2 goals last year across the whole league. But not only are they working hard on this and goals one game, and they're doing absolutely fantastic, as you say. Like, what's happening is this level of scoring across games is brilliant, but it's coming from maybe the new rules. Like, one of the goals yesterday from Kieran McGavery come from the tap and go. When we've seen these rules coming in from the men's game, and they're definitely improving the ladies' game. Even 3 games in, we can see huge changes.
Mm. And what, Mo, so have they adopted a certain amount of the rules in terms of the same that we're seeing in the men's game?
Well, they have. They've adopted some of the men's rules, but I think the biggest changes for the ladies, really, the men's one, the ones, some of them that are coming from the men's, the tap and go and the marks and stuff like that, they're slowly but surely coming in, and the three up as well, which is brilliant, because we see the ball going in earlier now. Like, we've seen the pace of the men's game change dramatically, and as you say now, over the last 2 years, it's bringing people out, and it's so exciting, and we see now this in the ladies' game, and that's a big cause for some of the goals that are happening at the minute, and the influx of goals, particularly this year. But they've also brought in changes to the physicality within ladies football. Like, obviously there's no physical contact, but this has changed dramatically, and you know, it makes it easier for referees to referee the game. It makes it clear for those in the line. You know, there was a lot of dissent last year and a lot of uproar, and some of the key decisions that referees were making over this physicality really could abrupt a game and change it dramatically. So that's what they're trying to make it an even playing field now out there as well. I'd like to eventually see it come in that it's just a full physical contact, because you have women out playing against women. Like, it's not men out playing against women. So within the men's game, you know, if you're small and not tough enough, you need to toughen up and be able to take those physical hits. And I think it should be the same within the ladies' game as well.
Mm. So for now, Mo, there's a certain amount allowed in the tackle, and that's up to the discretion of the ref, is it? Or how is that?
There is. It's still, as that's what I'm saying, it's a wee bit grey area. Like, yeah. You know,
ref to ref can be very different, then. I know what you mean, yeah.
It can be, but it's going to take a wee while. Even with the tap and go, some of the decisions yesterday were taken back, you know. So the referees are it's taken a wee while just to get used to that, and for players to get used to it, you know, and get into a habit of that. But yeah, listen, I think there's still grey areas where bigger girls will come up against smaller girls. And like, one of the biggest, most controversial rules was the charge, you know. So a player is now allowed to put their hands out to prevent that oncoming charge. But if it's a big player that's putting their hands out, and the oncoming player is back, what do they do there? So there's still grey areas. Brendan, you know, I'd like to see more clarity in that area. Mm.
See, that's very difficult, because if you're trying to plan for everything as a coach, and we've seen probably, listen, come across, they say, like Kieran McGeaney, you know, where something small will catch you out. So if a game does end up very tight, and you're looking at maybe a couple of instances where there was a turnover or a foul where there shouldn't have been, like, that's very hard for anybody to get their head around. So that's massive, Mo, that they really need to have that ironed out. You know, that's the kind of thing should be ironed out pre-season.
Yeah. Listen, you know, it's a trial period with these, and you know, they are going to go back to the drawing board on them, and there's probably going to be input from the same parties as well, which is good, because the parties that are interviewing in these key changes, you know, are from a number of different areas within the LGFA. So listen, you know, as I say, it is early, but you're right, decisions like that can change a game. And look, we see it's not black and white in the men's game either. As you say, you talked about McGeaney and the uproar there, you know, And that's happening across the board. And whether or not we can eliminate that totally within any of the games remains to be seen. I'm not sure. But we are both, you know, the GAA and the LGFA, hopefully who'll be under the one umbrella, are doing the best they can to eliminate those, you know, those key decisions that can change a game, Brendan.
Yeah, first class, Mo, as ever. I want to thank you for wrapping that up. Donegal, of course, are at home to Cavan in a couple of weeks' time. Get out and support them. No doubt, Mo, you'll be along. You'll be supporting them and giving us updates on that. We look forward to that as the season goes on.
Aye, no problem, Brendan. Hey, we'll chat soon.
We will. You get back to that wee bit of correcting there. Don't be sneaking off to bed early.
I need the 40 winks,
huh? No
the
bar.
Beauty sleep, the beauty
the
sleep.
The beauty sleep, we all need that. Well, thanks very much. That's Maureen O'Donnelly, ex-county star, wrapping that up for us. I want to thank my guests this evening. Of course, stay tuned. Joe Dex, of course, the man who was born for the Wheels of Steel. The clue's in the name, Joe Dex here. Thank you for producing. The Monday Night Sessions is coming on. Stay tuned to that. Jimmy and Paul are ready to rock.